We're on Daf Tzadi Aleph, Amud Aleph, about halfway through the Amud. And you'll see the two dots. And we have a line that begins with the word Hasakana. And the Gemara quotes the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Echad Gagim, the Echad Chatzeros, Echad Karpifos, Rishus Achasein, Lekelim Sheshavsu, Lesochan, Velo Lekelim Sheshavsu, Besocha Bais. Omar Rav, Halacha Kerebi Shimon. So that means you're allowed to carry from a Gag to a Chatzer, Chatzer to a Karpif. It's all one Rishus. But here Rav comes up with a Chiddush, and he says, Vahu. We have to restrict this heter of Rabbi Shimon, and the Mishnah itself restricts the heter of Shimon, and it only applies to Kelim Sheshavsu Besocha, meaning in the Gag, in the Chutz, in the Karpaf. But Rav goes even a step further, and he limits the heter of Shimon, and it only applies Kishalo Erevu, when the Dayarim of each Chotzer did not set up an Eruv, a private Eruv amongst themselves, Beinom Levena Atzmon, which means they're not allowed to take anything out of the Bayis into the Chotzer, because if you and I share a common Chotzer, unless we make an Eruv between us, we're not allowed to take from the house out to the Chotzer. And that's the case of Lo Eruv. And in such a case, says Rav, Rabbi Shimon allows you to take an object that found itself in the Chatzer at the onset of Shabbos and carry it into another Chatzer, or into a Karpaf, or into a Gag, Gag to a Chatzer, etc. Aval Ervu, if the Dayorim of each Chatzer set up their own Eruv, which means they're allowed to take Kalim from their houses, each one of them respectively into the Chatzer. There was never an Eruv between one Chatzer and the other Chatzer, but within each Chatzer there was an Eruv. Lo, in such a case, if an object is found at the outset of Shabbos in the Chatzer, then Rabbi Shimon would agree you're not allowed to carry that object into a nearby Chatzer. Lo. And before we see the explanation of Rav's understanding, it's counterintuitive, because we always assume that Eruv functions to be Matir Tiltal. Here, counterintuitive, the Eruv Dafka generates an Isur Tiltal, meaning, if each Chatzer did not set up its own Eruv, you're allowed to carry Kelim Sheshavsu B'Chatzer from one Chatzer to the other. That's Rav Shimon. But if each Chatzer set up its own Eruv, allowing them to carry from their houses into their Chatzer, then if the object, the utensil, was in Chatzer A at the time of Shabbos, you cannot carry, even according to Rav Shimon, that object from Chatzer A to Chatzer B, dafka, because each Chatzer made an Eruv. Makes no sense. Says Rav, de gazrinan dilma osi lafuke mani debatim lechatzer. What we're afraid is that since this Chatzer, we'll call it Chatzer A, has established an Eruv, there's a lot of Kalim that began on Shabbos in the Bayis, in various Batim, and were brought out to this common Chatzer because they relied on the Eruv, and that's perfectly legit. On the other hand, in the same Chatzer, you have Kalim that were in the Chatzer from the beginning of Shabbos. So you have two different categories of Kalim that find themselves into the Chatzer. There are Kalim that were in the Chatzer at the beginning of Shabbos. That's where they were. And you have Kalim that were brought out to the Chatzer after the onset of Shabbos, which was perfectly legit because of the Eruv. Says Rav, there's a Gzera. If you're going to allow him to carry one type of Kalim, namely, those Kalim that were Shoves in the Chatzah, those you're allowed to carry from Chatzah to Chatzah, he's going to come to carry even the large volume of Kalim that was Shoves in the Bias at the time of the onset of Shabbos. He's not going to differentiate between one Kalim and the other. It's not like these are red and these are blue. you know, if you write a Dr. Seuss book, you know, you got the blue and the red and all the different teams. You know, that's not what's happening over here. You've got a bunch of kelim. Go figure out which kelim was shoves in the chotzer at the time of Knisas HaShabbos and which was shoves in the batin. And once you have an Eruv in each chotzer, then there's a massive amount of kelim that are coming from the batim into the chotzer. And we have to assume that if we allow him to take those kelim that were shoves in the chotzer from one chotzer to the other, he's going to come, inevitably and inadvertently, to take the kelim that were shoves in the bias at the time of the Knesset HaShabbos that are now in the chotzer because they relied on the Eruv, he's going to carry those from one chotzer to the other. No one's going to know to differentiate between one set of kelim and the other. It's not like the personality of the keli, you know, changes its countenance, and you can determine by looking at the keli whether it was shoves in the bayis at the beginning of Shabbos or shoves in the chotzer. However, this opinion of Rav is unique to Rav, and both Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan reject this. They don't have this gezerah. And they assume that when we read the Mishnah B'Stoma and Rav Shimon says that you're allowed to carry from one chotzer to the other, that applies whether or not there was an Erev in each chotzer. There's no gzera. We don't recognize the gzera. Shmuel Omar, bein Erevu, bein lo Erevu. We're not going to be choshesh that if we allow him in a case of an Erev, in a case, let's talk about the case of Rav, right? In the case where they made an Erev, we allow him to carry the kelim that was shoves in the chotzer to a nearby chotzer that has come to carry those kelim that were taken out into the chotzer on Shabbos. V'chein omer Rabbi Yochanan. Now look at the language of Rabbi Yochanan. Rashi doesn't like it. He changes the girsa, but our girsa is mi lachshecha. In modern terms, we would translate that as who whispered this into your ear. And what Rabbi Yochanan is saying to Rav is that you're creating a gzera without any source whatsoever. It's bottom milibo. You know, you came up with your logical understanding, and based on that, you, in a sense, you've enacted your own gzera. I mean, nowhere in Reb Shimon do we see that such a gzera exists. And therefore, bein erevu, bein shelo erevu, it's always going to be mutter to take the kelim from the chotzer that was shoves in the chotzer to a nearby chotzer. You know, when I think of, if I would ever write a book on Erevin, I would call it Milakshecha. The whole Masechta is Milakshecha. Anyway, Rashi doesn't like the language of Milakshecha. It's a little bit too sharp, you know. Who whispered this into your ear? You know, we would say, did a birdie tell you, you know. Maskif lo Rav Chisda l'Shmuel ul Rabbi Yochanan. I don't understand how you could reject the gzera of Rav. I mean, the gzera of Rav and the logic is so compelling. Okay, there's no source for it. But nevertheless, what are you going to tell me? You're going to tell me that according to Reb Shimon, it's mutter to be metaltel michotzer lechotzer, even if they made an Eruv. I don't get it. The logic is going to tell me that once they made an Eruv, then they're going to be taking kelim out of their batim into the chotzer. And that's exactly what the purpose of the Eruv is. Those kelim that they're taking out of their batim into the chotzer, clearly, nobody denies this, are also to be metaltel into the next chotzer. So how is anybody going to know the difference? And look at the language of Rav Chisda. I don't want to prejudice you, but I think he's even going a step further. He's not just asking you, how can you be matir tiltel of kelim sheshavsu b'chotzer when you know that he cannot differentiate between those kelim and the kelim that was shoves in the bayis, but he goes even a step further, I think. He says, Yomru, Shnei kelim b'chotzer achas, ze mutar, v'ze asur. You have two kelim sitting in a chotzer. One, you're allowed to take into the next chotzer, and the other, you're not allowed to take in the next chotzer. I mean, we never heard such a thing. It seems to me that the extra word Yomru here, again, that's just my opinion, he's talking about the spectator. You know, very often in halacha, we're very sensitive to the spectator because of what's called chucha v'tlula. You know, people start laughing at the chachamim chas v'shalom and saying their gzeiros make no sense. You know, you're telling me this keli I'm allowed to take the next chatzar. This one I can't. I mean, they're identical kelim. In fact, they may be even the same manufacturer who manufactured two identical kelim. One happened to be on Erev Shabbos in the chatzar, the other happened to be on Erev Shabbos in the bayis. So again, either Rav Chisda is saying that the logic of the gzeira of Rav is so compelling you can't deny it, or Rav Chisda is saying, let's worry about the impression on the outside, on the man of the street. You're telling him, well, this keli I'm allowed to carry to the next chatzar, this keli I can't, that we never heard of. I mean, there are chatzeros that have Erevin. You can have a situation where two chatzeros set up their own Eruv, a joint Eruv, and you can carry Kalim from one chutz to the other and the other vice versa. And you can have Kalim that cannot be carried from one chutz to the other because the two chutzers never made an Eruv. That's fine. That we understand. I mean, the justification is that either during the course of Shabbos you can carry into the other chutzer or you cannot carry into the other chutzer. Is there an Eruv? Is there not an Eruv? And now we're talking about Kalim that, for example, with Shoves in the bias on Erev Shabbos. So, for example, I have a keli in my house. I set up an Erev with all the other members of my chutz. I'm allowed to carry this keli out into the chutz. I also had an Erev, a joint Erev between my chutz and the next door chutz. I could take those kelim that was Shoves in my house on Erev Shabbos and could take them out to chutz A, which is my chutz, and then carry them into chutz B, which is your chutz. And all that makes sense because on that Shabbos they had the proper Erev in. If they didn't have the proper Erevin, so those same Kalim, which a week ago we were allowed you to carry from one chutz to the other, this week we're not going to allow you to do so because they didn't make an Erev. I mean, all that makes sense. But to say that on one Shabbos, I'm looking at two Kalim that are identical, both located right now in the chutz, and I say, well, let's go back to the history of this Kalim. And this one was in the bayis on Erev Shabbos. And this one was in the chutz on Erev Shabbos. This one, I'm allowed to carry to the next chutz. I mean, the onlooker is not, that's beyond him. I mean, He doesn't catch the whole logic.
Going back to the Rav's gzera, isn't that a gzera? The whole business with chatzeros to begin with is a derabbanan.
Yeah.
So I mean,
I guess you'd have to say
another gzera.
Right. You're gonna have to say kula chad gzera, meaning that.
But it's not, because it certainly Rav Tissa didn't accept it.
Right. No, what I mean to say is that what Rav's logic is that when you have Kalim that was Shoves in the house on Erev Shabbos, then you cannot place them into a different chatzer. You can either place them into your own personal chatzer if no one shares that chatzer, or if there are other residents that share that chatzer, you made an Eruv, you can take it out to your chatzer. But barring those two situations, Kalim that was Shoves in the bayis, if I could give you a bayishpil, an example, let's say if I was Shoves outside the city so that I can't walk more than 2,000 amma from that point in any direction. So we have halacha of Kinyan Shvisa. And when we apply this both to human beings and to Kalim, it means that Kalim that was Kona Shvisa in the bayis cannot be taken out to another Rishus unless you can join that Rishus by, if there's one person living in the house and he owns the Chatzer, that's all one Rishus, or if all the Bnei HaChatzer got together to make an Eruv. So then you can say that the Shvisa of the Keli was not in the Bayis, it was in the Rishus, and the Rishus includes the Chatzer as well. That's fine. However, the original Isur of a Keli that was Shoves cannot be taken into a different Rishus. Again, I'm not going to tell you that's Doraisa because I don't even know if Tchumen is Doraisa. But there are Shitas, like Rabbi Akiva and others, that Tchumen is Doraisa. But even if I grant you that the entire concept of a Keli that was Kona Shvisa is a rabbinic invention, nevertheless, we have to protect that invention. So within that enactment, which the Rabbanan enacted, that a Keli is Kona Shvisa cannot be taken into a different Rishus, the Chachamim, says Rav, have to apply that in a case where those Kalim might be taken into another Chatzah, into another Rishus. The only way they could do that, logically, is by saying that all the Kalim that were taken out of the bayis into the chatzer have to remain in that rishus. In other words, if they made it, they made an eruv, and now the rishus is redefined as bayis plus chatzer. So that's where the kelim was kona shvisa. Now you have other kelim that were kona shvisa in the chatzer. So you're going to tell me that I can take these kelim out and not these kelim? That doesn't make any sense. At the end of the day, he's going to take out all the kelim if you give him the carte blanche, the okay, the green light. And that includes even the kelim that were in one rishus, and you're going to take them into another rishus. So I think what Rav is doing is he's basically presenting the thesis, and I think Rav Chisda perhaps buys into this thesis, that in order to give teeth and permanence to the gzera of the Chachamim, that once a kli is kona shvisa, can't take him to another rishus on Shabbos, you have to say that even the other kelim that were in the chatzer from the beginning of Shabbos, they too cannot be taken out, because once you allow him to take out these kelim, he's going to take out the other kelim. Now the Gemara is going to try to defend Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan and justify why, in their view of Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon didn't have that gezeirah. And it's very interesting, because the methodology of the Gemara is to try to find cases where you and I would have anticipated that there should be a gezeirah, and yet Rabbi Shimon does not have the gezeirah. Now, again, you could say, I don't buy into this. I mean, every case is different. You know, you can't make a generalization and say, well, you found a case where Rav Shimon doesn't have the gzeira in that particular scenario, and therefore carte blanche, you know, Rav Shimon just denies all the gzeiros in all the scenarios. I mean, every scenario is different. But somehow the Gemara understands that there's almost like a fundamental question here about gzeiros. Let's see the Gemara inside. I mean, just by way of introduction, to make it a little bit easier, because the reading is very heavy. Imagine the following situation. You have three chatzeros, one to the right, one to the left, and one in the middle. The chatzer, or let's put it this way, each of the two chatzeros on the extremes entered into an eruv with the middle chatzer. But there was never an eruv between the outer chatzeros, the two extreme chatzeros. And Rav Shimon is going to validate and permit carrying from the middle chatzer in that direction towards the chatzer on this extreme, to the right, let's say, and to carry from the middle chatzer to the left, to the other extreme, and vice versa. So the two extremes can carry into the middle chatzer. But the extreme on this side is not allowed to carry into the other chatzer, because they never had an Erev one with the other. Those two chatzers never entered into an Erev. Now, let's try to think this out. You know, there is room for a gzera. If you can allow, let's call it, just give it names, you know, call it A, B, and C. If you can allow the chatzer in A to carry into B, then there could be a very good chashash that from B, they might carry it into C. And not only that, let's put it this way. From the perspective of the kelim, forget about the isa tiltel, but let's talk about the kelim themselves. These kelim that belong on Erev Shabbos to Chatzar A are in a reshus that includes both A and B, the middle Chatzar as well, because they entered into an Erev. But those kelim have no place in Chatzar C, because that's already a different reshus. And again, you can flip it back and forth from C to B, and then from C to B to back to A, meaning they may carry it from one extreme to the other. Now, it's really fascinating, because you can even create a situation like that, forget about with chatzeros, you know, you have one chatzer here, one chatzer there, and another chatzer in the middle. You can even have it with human beings. What do I mean? Let's say you have a situation, and there are many such, where a person is given dalet amos. That's all he's allowed to walk. You could have a case where you have a middle person, we'll call Mr. B, who's allowed to walk 4 amos in each direction, let's say, if he's given a radius of 4 amos, and Mr. C has an overlap of 2 of those 4 amos. And Mr. A has an overlap of 2 of the 4 amos, but there's no overlap between Mr. A and Mr. C. And once again, you know, if you're going to be matir, what's going to happen inevitably is that somebody is going to go into the middle, and then from there he's going to continue on, which he's not allowed to do. Reb Shimon l'tamei d'lo gazar, I'll show you that Reb Shimon is very consistent, according to Shmuel and Reb Yochanan, and he doesn't accept these kinds of gzeros. Disnan, we have a Mishnah back on Daf Mem Hayam and Beis. So you have 3 different people, and each one has a tchum of 4 amos, and that's all he has. And the case exactly was where he fell asleep outside the city on Erev Shabbos, and he wakes up on Shabbos. And in such a case, he was not Kona Shvisa that would give him the Alpayim Amah from the outsides of the city. Why? Because he wasn't awake to be Kona Shvisa. And during a state of sleep, you cannot be Kona Shvisa. Again, there's machlokas about that, but that's according to one Mandiyoma. Now we give him 4 amos. That's the entire radius that he gets. And now you have 2 people on the extremes. We'll call them the chitzonim. And we have the emtsayis, the person who's in the middle. And if you just draw the lines, what you can have is that, let's call him Levi, or Mr. C, we'll call him, right on this left side. We have A, which is Reuven, on this side. Each one gets 4 amos in this direction. And in each case, 2 of the amos of both A and C overlap with the 4 amos of Mr. B. And Rabbi Shimon says that in such a case, we're going to allow for each of the overlaps, meaning each of the 2 amos that overlap either with Mr. A and B, or with Mr. C and B, to be matir, tiltal, within that overlap. Meaning, Mr. C could go and carry into the 2 amos that he shares as an overlap with Mr. B, and Mr. A can carry 2 amos into the overlap with Mr. B, and the Emtsoi, Mr. B, who's in the middle, he now has a heted tiltal, which will allow him again to go 4 amos, which means that he spills over 2 amos into the territory, the radius of Mr. C. He can carry 2 amos into the radius of Mr. A. And that's the way we're going to set up the heted. Now, the 2 chitzonim, Mr. A and Mr. C, are asura b'tiltal, says that they have no overlap whatsoever. In other words, they have no 4 amos b'shituf, b'shutfis. There's no partnership in any of the amos. And Rav Shimon says this is fine, and that's the way the halach is. We're going to be matir it. And in order to convince us that he's correct, Rav Shimon compares this to another case. So you have 3 chatzeros. Chatzer A on one side has a Pesach leading into Chatzer B, the middle Chatzer. Chatzer C has a Pesach leading into Chatzer A. Upsuchos l'rishus harabim. In other words, each one of these individual chatzeros has a Pesach that opens up into rishus harabim. Ervushtei hachitzonos. Imhem tzoyis. Each one individually, there are 2 Erev in here. One of the chitzonis has his Erev with the emtzoyis. The other chitzonis on the other extreme has his Erev with the chitzonis. Is he muteras imohem? Vehein mutaras imo. Which means that each one of these 2 extremes is allowed to carry from his chatzer into the middle chatzer, and vice versa, the middle guy can carry into each one of the two extreme chatzeros. But shtei achitzonos asurim zu al zu. Chatzer A on this side is asur with chatzer B. You're not allowed to carry from one chatzer on this extreme to the other chatzer on the other polar extreme, because these two chatzers never set up an eruv one with the other. And this is exactly parallel, according to Rav Shimon, to the case of Shlosha B'nei Adam, where you have an overlap of the Tchum Shabbos of two Amos with each one of the extremes. And V'lo Gazar, Rabbi Shimon is not afraid. Wait, just give me one more minute just to get, because this is the punchline. V'lo Gazar Dilma Asi Lafuke Mani Da Haichotzer La Haichotzer. Ah, so the Gemara is going to put the emphasis here on the Kalim. We should logically be worried about the following possibility. We should suspect and therefore institute Gzera to prohibit this, because perhaps they're going to take the Keli that's brought from the Chatzah Chitzona into the Chatzah Mtsois to the other Chatzah Chitzona on the other side. So imagine, right, you're looking at Keli. These Keli can be brought from one Chatzah to the other. Other Keli in the same chatzah, meaning in the emtsayas, can be brought from that chatzah to the other extreme, the other chitzona, but the kalim, that you have now two sets of kalim. And again, as we said before, there's no red flag here, you know, there's no ID. You remember when we used to go to those conventions, you know, they used to ask us to wear an ID. No. So the kalim don't have an ID. I don't know which kalim that are now in the middle chatzah were brought from here to here, and they cannot be brought from here to here, or vice versa. And there's no gzeir.
Is this a din of the gavra or the chetzer? Let's say Mr. A, Shabbos, Mr. A has a cholin pot, and he brings it to his friend, Mr. B, to eat. Mutter, because they have an eruv.
Right.
Mr. B takes that cholin pot, and he has an eruv with Mr. C. He brings it to Mr. C. Is that a problem? Is it an isser on the chetzer or is it an isser on the gavra?
Yeah, I think it's the since this keli was konish visa in the original chetzer, which is Mr. C. I don't remember the names, but therefore that keli, if it would be brought from Mr. C to Mr. A through the medium of Mr. B,
that for sure is no good.
That's no good.
That for sure is no good, and I fully understand that.
But again, Rabbi, look at these two kalim. One of these two kalim can be brought from Mr. B to Mr. C. The other kalim cannot be brought from Mr. B to Mr. C because it was Kona Shvisa in Mr. A, or whatever the numbers were. Do you follow what I'm saying? So you have two kalim that are identical. One can be brought to the other chutz, and one cannot be brought to the other chutz because it was Kona Shvisa on the other side. And Hachinami, this is the punchline of the Gemara. Hachinami, right?
Never go to sin.
I just wanted to read the line of the Gemara to get it officially read. Hachinami lo gazrin and dimasi lafuke money debatim ilchatzer. Right, we're going to be mata Caleb according to Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan that was shoves in one chatzer to bring it into another chatzer, even though there are kalim in that chatzer which are not allowed to be brought into the other chatzer because they were called shvivs in the bakas. Right, we'll go over that one more time, just to get the parallel.
I understand what it's saying, but I don't understand what's happening here. A brings a bottle of wine to B for lunch.
Right.
Right? It now belongs to B. They made an Eruv, you can do that. B now goes to Shalashudas to C. Can he bring that bottle of wine?
I don't think so. Because it was Konish Visa.
It becomes his.
Correct, but the Keli itself was Konish Visa. You can't take it outside of its Rishus. And yet, Rav Shimon doesn't have this Gezerah. I'll read to you the note here. Maybe the note will clarify something, just to make sure that I'm...
It's an isra lechetza, not negavra.
Correct.
It's an isra lechetza.
That's what I'm saying. Just like this halach in Tchumen, that I was Kodesh Visa, so too in Kalim is Kodesh Visa.
Okay.
He says in the footnote, again, I didn't see this footnote, I'm not sure if it's going to help us. It might not be relevant. He says, Tama Dovish is Sovrim Shmuel Rabbi Yochanan Shrabbi Shimon Matir Atiltul Afiluim Bi Ofen She Irvu Dayare Kol Chotzel Yatzmo and Vena Gozer Shemi Yavol Ataltul Kalim Sheshovsu Vibatim Lechotzer Acheres Lefishu Sover Kishitoso Legabi Sholosh Chatzeros, right? So this is a consistent view of Rav Shimon in the case of Sholosh Chatzeros. Sha'af Shomein, it goes there lesser atiltul min achitzonos le'emtzois. And that's all he tells us. Just one second. Yeah. Let me just take out the English just to, again, just in case I don't want to mislead any of us. Let's just see if I see anything here. What page are we on? Sadi Aleph, correct? Okay, just make sure we're okay. Just have to find the place, sorry. Now I'm getting there. Reb Shimon LeTamei. Fine. That's it. Okay. Shtei Chatzeres Asurim Zu Al Zu. The two outer Chatzeres are prohibited to carry from a house of the outer Chatzer to the other chatzer. So Reb Shimon clearly allows the residents of the outer chatzers to carry their utensils between their chatzer and the middle chatzer, and he does not decree that all transfers between chatzeros be forbidden for fear that one might come to carry utensils that originated in the house of the outer chatzer into this other chatzer. Now, I think he means even if, Shimon in the middle, Mr. B, is going to be carrying it. That's my impression here. The middle chatzer will have in it a large number of utensils that originate in the houses of both of these chatzeros.
Right.
And those kalim can only be returned to their original chatzer, but not to the outer chatzer. I don't think, again, I'm not, I can't take a shvua d'oraisa, but I don't think he's differentiating between Levi and Reuven on the one hand, and Shimon in the middle on the other. I think the Keli itself is Kona Shvisa. That's my impression. I'll try to do more research, but that's
my
impression.
That answers it very well.
Yeah, that's my impression.
The Chatzah can't go beyond B.
Yeah, and again, that's why I always emphasize that none of these Keli are wearing a name tag. There's really no way. Do you know the history of this Keli? Where did it originate from? But again, I sense in my, intuitively that there's something fundamental going on over here. I don't know if it's gzera like you said, Rabbi, but there's some, we're committing Reb Shimon to a certain position, a certain rule of psak. He has a certain rule of psak here in Erevin, that when you have kalim, and there are two types of kalim, one of which is allowed to be carried into another chatzah, the other which cannot, Reb Shimon says that rely on the good, will of the people and their meticulous observance of Shabbos, that they will not they'll not confuse one kalim with the other. I don't know. I'm not sure why. Is it a matter of statistical probability? How frequently would a person make this mistake? How common of a mistake is it? It sounds to me like there's some lumbus over here.
In Erevin, you go into the makil. We've learned that before. And then here what's the worst thing that could happen? The Shvisa Kalim of A goes into B, which is Mutter.
Right.
And then it's brought over to C.
Right.
Okay? You're not supposed to do that.
Right.
What's the great crime?
Right.
It's Mutter Lagadre anyway.
Right. No, I understand what you're saying. It sounds like Zera Ligzera, but the reason why I am, just again, it's just a matter of intuition. The reason why I'm resisting that is because I suspect that Reb Shimon is saying something about Kalim. He's not, right. I could give you any number of scenarios where there is a gzera, and even in the worst case scenario, it would not entail a violation of an Issa Doraisa, and yet all of Masechta Erevin is built on that. It's very common. The Gemara is not saying that Reb Shimon has a fundamental commitment that we reject all gzeros in Erevin because all the Yisurim are anyway Durabbanan.
Right.
I think he's saying something about Kalim that I just don't know exactly how to prove that. It's just right now, it's just an intuition.
Okay,
Masiv Rav Sheshes. Now the Gemara is going to ask Akasha on Rav from the following Mishnah that we had on Daf Peites. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Echad Gagos, Echad Chatzeres, Echad Karpefios, Rishus Achas, Hain. But lekelim sheshavsu besochan, velo lekelim sheshavsu besocha bayis. Now the Gemara is going to read this Mishnah in a very specific way. I'm not sure if that's the only way you could read the Mishnah, but what the Gemara is saying is that when it says velo lekelim, Rabbi Shimon is looking at Kalim and asking whether these Kalim are allowed to be taken into the next Chatzer. And he is differentiating between two Kalim. We'll call it Kali A and Kali B. Kali A, which was Shavsu B'tochan, it was Shoves in the Chatzer, you're allowed to carry into the next Chatzer. But Kali B, because it was Shoves in the Bayis, you're not allowed to carry into the next Chatzer. And the Gemara is going to ask the obvious question, how did this Keli that was Shoves in the Bayis get out into the Chatzer? If these two Kalim are sitting right in front of you into the Chatzer, how did the Keli get from the Bayis to the Chatzer? Does it have wings? The Gemara says the following, E'amit b'shlema de'ervu, unless you assume that the members of that Chatzer, Chatzer A we'll call it, had their own Eruv, now I can understand that there were Kalim that were Shoves in the Bayis and they got out to the Chatzer. Ela I Amrit Shelo Ervu Heichem Mishkachas Moni Debatim B'Chatzer. According to Rav, that Rav Shimon in the Mishnah was Matir from Chatzer to Chatzer because there was no Eruv in each individual Chatzer. How could Rav Shimon now look at two Kalim that are sitting in the same chatzer and say, well, this one was Kona Shvisa in the chatzer on Erev Shabbos, you're allowed to take it into the next chatzer. This one was Kona Shvisa in the Bayis. What are you talking about? If we're talking about a case, according to Rav, of Lo Ervu, how the heck did this Kali get from the Bayis out to the chatzer? It didn't have wings. Meaning, the Gemara is being very, very almost super meticulous about its reading of the Mishnah. I could have said that maybe when the Mishnah says v'lo l'keim sheshavsu v'toch habayis, the Mishnah is talking about a case where whether there was an Erev or not an Erev, but the Mishnah is just trying to convey you the message to you that if you have Kalim that was Shoves in the Bayis, you're not allowed to take them from the Chatzer to the next Chatzer, which means that, let's say you set up an Eruv, and now you want to carry, which you're allowed to, from your Bayis into the Chatzer. Comes along Reb Shimon, he says, but no, don't carry it into the next Chatzer, because it was Kona Shvisa in this Rishus, and you never set up an Eruv between this Chatzer and the next Chatzer. I don't know that that's a slug up to Rav. The only reason the Gemara forces our back against the wall to assume that the Mishnah is talking about a case of Lo Ervu is because the Gemara is reading the Mishnah in a way that we interpret the Mishnah as referring to two Kalim that are actually, one is was Kona Shvisa, one was in the same Chatz at the same time, and that can only be possible in a case of Ervu. So how are you going to interpret this Mishnah as a case of lo ervu? Because how did the keli that was konish vis in the bais get out to the chutz? But again, the Mishnah is being interpreted as this is all happening at the same time. It's not that the Mishnah is just conveying general rules. It's actually describing a real scenario in which you have two kelim in the chatzer. One is asur and the other is mutter, and the reason for that is because there was no eruv. And how could it be mutter according to Rav? So Gemara answers, who mosiv lov, who mefarikla. I love that phrase. That's a phrase I taught to my wife. She says it all the time. You know, who mosiv lov? He's the one who asked the kasha, and he's the one who gave the teretz to the kasha. So this is all Rav Sheshes. Very sharp move here on the part of Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes says that when Rav Shimon says in our Mishnah, Lo Kelim Sheshavs V'toch HaShavis V'toch HaBayis, he's referring to Kumta V'Sudra. Interesting, the word Kumta, which I think is Aramaic, is a word that crept into the Hebrew language. And when I was in the army, I mean, the Kumta was the helmet that you wear on your head. And the sudra is a more cloth kind of thing, a turban that you wear in your head. Anyway, this is a way of conveying that we're talking about begadim, we're talking about clothes that a person wears. And a person who lives in a bias, and that bias spills into a chatzah that's common and shared by many other residents, and there was no eruv, no one's going to say that he has to walk out naked, you know, into the chutz. He's wearing clothes. Those clothes are kelim that were konish visa in the bias. How is he allowed to take them out of his bias into the chutz if there was no eruv? Are we going to tell you that whenever you have a chutz there, that's mishutefes, and there was no eruv, you're not allowed to walk out with you know, kelim? The answer is that for sure he's allowed to do that. Why? Because that's called derech malbush, as opposed to derech tiltel. So you're not allowed to be metaltel kelim that were konish visa in rishus X and take them out to rishus Y. That's called tiltel kelim that were konish visa in one rishus. But in the case of levush, where you're wearing them, so you're allowed to wear them out into another rishus, even though they were konish visa in one rishus. I mean, truth of the matter is that even as far as Meleches Hotzah on a Doraisa level, we had discussions about this back in Masech the Shabbos, that which you're wearing and its apparel, that is not considered Hotzah. That's not Tiltel. Oh. Now what happens when he gets into the Chatzer and he, let's say, eats a Shabbos meal out in the chutz. I'm just giving an example, right? They have a picnic out in the chutzir, and he takes off his hat, and he puts his hat on top of the picnic table. And in this case, is he allowed to take that hat and carry it, according to Rav Shimon, into another chutzir? He was allowed to take it out into the chatzah because he was doing it derech malbush. But now, derech tiltul, he wants to carry the hat, you know, tuck it into his back pocket. Or, I don't know if you could relate to this from your childhood, we had people in Ashul who would wear, you know, put their kerchiefs into the breast pocket, you know, and carry it. They didn't know beans about the Meleches Hotzah. And he wants to now carry it derech tiltul to the next chatzer. So Reb Shimon says the following: he could have two turbans that are identical. One turban was in the chatzer when the sun set on Erev Shabbos. The other turban he wore out from his house in the middle of Shabbos out into the chatzer, and he took it off. One turban he's allowed to take into the next chatzer, and the other turban he's not allowed to take into the next chatzer, because one keli was konish visa with the onset of Shabbos in the bayis, and the other was konish visa in the chatzer. So that's a way of reinterpreting our Mishnah, says Rav Sheshes, in such a way that it doesn't contradict Rav. Right? Let's just review. We thought that the Mishnah is referring to a case where he has two kelim in the chatzer, one of which was konish visa in the bayis, the other was konish visa in the chatzer. this one you're allowed to carry into the other chutz, this one you're not allowed to. How did the keli get out into the chutz? There must have been an eruv. And Rav says that according to Rav Shimon, in the case where there's an eruv, you're not allowed to take any kelim from one chutz to the other, even those keli that were kodesh v'is in the chutz. How did the keli that was kodesh v'is in the bais get out to the chutz? It must be that there was an eruv, and that undermines the sheet of Rav. And for the Gemara, no, this is not a case where there was an Erev. There was no Erev. If there was no Erev, how did the Keli get out from the bias to the Chatzah? Because he was wearing it on his head. Toshma. Now the Gemara goes the other way to bring a proof to Rav Shita. And this is on the top of Tzadi Aleph Amid Beis. Okay. Apparently the Gemara now is quoting a Tosefta. Okay, fine. And we're going to try to prove Rav Shita that according to Rav Shimon, you're only allowed to carry Kalim from one chatzah to the other if there was no Eruv. If there was an Eruv, and each chatzah made its own Eruv, you're not allowed to carry from one chatzah to the other. Anshe chatzah v'anshe mirpeses. Okay. This is somewhat of a complicated Tosefta. I'm going to try as best I can to fit it into the time that we have. Very often, you have a two-story building, and you have people living on the ground floor, people living on the upper floor. Those who are on the ground floor are called the Anshei Achotzer. Those who are on the higher floor are called Anshei Mirpeses. And then, you have a number of issues that come up. One issue would be, let's say there was a sela, which is a boulder or an amud or a pillar or anything like that that's grounded in the chatzer, but it rises, it's elevated 10 tfachim in height. And now the question is, does that pole or pillar belong to the Anshei Mirpeses on the upper floor? Or does it belong, when I say belong, I'm not talking about ownership, what I mean to say is, as far as head to tiltal is concerned, is it shayach to the Rishus of the Chatzer on the Banu? And the general rule here is, it all depends on Noach Tashmishta, which one of the two Chatzeros, let's call it the Chatzer, which is the Mirpeses, because you have many apartments on the second floor that spill into and share one common mirpeset, or does it belong to the chatzah on the bottom? Which one of these two chatzeros, bottom floor, ground floor, or top floor, is allowed to put an object on top of the sela, which is 10 tefachim high? And again, since it's closer to the mirpeset, therefore the anshei mirpeset would be allowed to lose it. If it's less than 10 tefachim high, then it belongs to the chatzah on the bottom, and not to the b'nei Hammer Peset on the top. Now you can have another issue, and that's going to be whether or not the Anshei Mirpeset could carry something into the Chatzer and vice versa. And again, if they made an Eruv, that would be fine. And what if they did not make an Eruv? So the Brisa says the following, Shachachu velo Eruv. They didn't make a joint Eruv. Each one of the two Chatzers had its own private local Eruv. So there are many houses that spill into the chatzah on the bottom floor, on the ground floor. They made an Eruv. There are many apartments that share the same Mirpeset. They made an Eruv. So there's no problem of carrying from the batim out into the Mirpeset for the B'nai HaMirpeset. There's no problem in carrying from the batim out to this chatzah for the B'nai HaChatzah. And then the Braisa says, Kol shegavah asara tefachim, any kind of a pillar or a stone. There are some other examples which I don't come to mind right now. Anyway, things that protrude from the ground and they are more than 10 tefachim high is libnei amirpeses. Pachos mikan. If on the other hand those erected pillars and so forth and so on are less than 10 tefachim high, libnei hachotze. Libnei hachotze would be allowed to have access on Shabbos to the Amud, If it's less than 10 tfachim, if it's more than 10 tfachim, the Bnei HaChatzar have no access to use that amud, but rather Bnei HaMerpeses on the upper floor, they have access. All because, which is Noach, Tashmishto, and so forth and so on. Okay, fine. Now, yeah. Let me just see as a picture here. Okay. Oh, I see. He had something here in the diagram. Again, I don't want to get distracted, but the only time that the Bnei Merpeset are allowed to use this Amud, because it's 10 Tfachim high, is only if another condition is met, and that is that the distance between the Merpeset and the Amud is up to, but not more than 4 Tfachim. In other words, the human stretch, so to speak, is 4 Tfachim. And if it's more than 4 Tfachim in distance away from the Merpeset, then it's not considered Noach Tashmishto. So the whole idea that's Kover, that determines whether or not you'll have to be metaltel out and get benefit from this Omud, it all depends on Noach Tashmishto, so it has to be Samuch. It has to be a close proximity to the Merpeset. If somebody's standing on the Merpeset, and he'd have to throw something onto the Omud, B'derech Zrika, that's not called Noach Tashmishto. Noach Tashmishto means you can simply stretch your arm out. Okay, fine. Now, the Braisa continues. When do we apply this din that we view the Bnei HaChatzer as one Rishus, the Bnei HaMerpeset as another Rishus, and therefore you cannot carry from the Merpeset to the Chatzach or vice versa? And again, what the Braisa wants to address here, sort of like in the subconscious mind, there's a question over here. Why is there a problem of carrying from the Chatzah to the Mepeset and back and forth? Each one is a Chatzah. The Mepeset is also a Chatzah. And if we assume that the author of this Braisa is Reb Shimon allows you to carry from one Mepeset to another. So therefore, b'medvar amurim, when is there an iser of carrying from one merpeset to the other? I'm sorry, from the merpeset to the chutz, vice versa. K'shahayu elu shel rabim, v'elu shel rabim. In other words, there are a number of people who are living in the chutzer, meaning who share that chutzer. The number of people who live in the aliyah, in the higher merpeset. V'eravu elu li'atzman, v'elu li'atzman. Interesting. Again, this counterintuitive principle that if each one, the Bnei HaChatzah on the bottom and the Bnei HaMerpeset in the Ali on the top, each one made their own respective individual Eruv, then in such a case, they cannot carry from one to the other. I mean, this is Mamish Rav. This is the only way of understanding this is with the Gzeir of Rav, because if we're going like Rav Shimon, then Rav Shimon allows you to carry from one Chatzah to the other. Oh, Shahayu Shel Yechidim. In other words, you had down in the chutz only one bias, or up in the merpeset you had only one apartment. She'ein tzrichim li'arev. There's no need for an eruv. In other words, the person who lives on the bottom can carry out to his chutz without an eruv, and so too the person on top can carry out to the merpeset without an eruv. In these cases where there's no eruv, then... Just one second, let me just get this right. Good. So that if there's no Eruv, then the Bnei HaMerpeset could carry into the Chatzer, and vice versa. Why? Because these are two Chatzeros, so they can carry one from the other. But paradoxically, if each one, the Chatzah and the Merpeset, made their own individual Eruv, they cannot carry one to the other. This is an explicit raya, a proof to Shitas Rav, that Dafka, when they made an Eruv, each Chatzah, they cannot carry from one Eruv to the other. Why? Because then you're going to have a massive volume of Kelim that are found in the Chatzah that were taken out of the bias because of the Eruv. But in the absence of an Eruv, according to the Shita of this Braisa, they're allowed to carry one to the other, based on the principle of Rav Shimon, that Rav Shimon sees all Chatzeros as one Rishus. Aval hayu shel rabim v'shachachu v'lo ervu. Is then gag v'chotzev achsachim merpeseh kulam reshus achas. You're allowed to carry from the merpeset to the chotzev to the merpeset. You're allowed to carry from a gag to a chotzev to a achsachim, merpeset, etc. They're all one reshus, meaning Rabbi Shimon. Only when do we apply Rabbi Shimon's heter? That's only in a case of shachachu v'lo erev. We're going to give him a prize, a chote niskar, for the fact that they forgot to make an eruv. Had they made an eruv, they would not be allowed to carry from one chotzeh to the other, meaning from the repesa to the chotzeh. Stach memela, we have a raya to rav. The Gemara fleshes it out. Taima, the reason why the brice is matted to be metalted from the chotzeh to the repesa is dafka bishum lo erev. Ha ervu, lo. Why? Because then we have the gzera of Rav, and we're always afraid with Chashush that they'll take Kalim that was Shovis in the Bayis or in the Aliyos, and they'll carry it to the other Chatzer. They won't differentiate between one Kali and the other. One Kali was Konashvisa in the Merpeses, and the other Kali was Konashvisa in the Bayis, because since there's an Eruv, means all the different apartments that share the same Merpeset are carrying out their Kalim from their houses into the chotzer, which in this case is the merpeset. The same thing you'd apply to the chotzer on the bottom floor. And no one's going to make any difference between those kelim and the kelim that were kona shvisa in the merpeset. And Rav Shimon's heter is only vis-a-vis the kelim that were kona shvisa in the merpeset. So the Gemara answers, Ha'mani Rabbanon hi. This brisa is not Rav Shimon, and therefore it's no proof for Rav. This brisa should be attributed to the Shitas Chachamim, who hold that gagos and chatzeros are reshus achas, and you're allowed to be metaltil from one to the other. And within the framework of the Shitas Chachamim, even Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan mode that if the dayorim of all the of each chatzer set up an erev li'atzmo, and they didn't set an erev one with the other, then they generated an isur tilta from one chatzer to the other. And that applies even to kelim sheshavtu b'chatzeros. Why? Because the Chachom are afraid that perhaps they'll come to be motzi, even kelim sheshafsu bebatim. So that the Rabbanon accept this principle, that we're afraid that if you allow them to carry from one chatz to the other, they may be carrying even kelim that was shoveis in the bayis. And the whole machlokas between Rav and Shmuel is only according to the Reb Shimon, but according to Rabbanon, even Shmuel would be moder that there is such a gzera. And this is all based on a sugya back on Daf Mem Tes, in the case of Sholosh Chatzeras Psucha Zu Lezu, where Rav Shimon was Mekil, and he allowed you to carry from the two extremes into the middle, and he wasn't afraid that the Keli would go to the other extreme, and he didn't have that Gzera, and the Chacham disagree. They have that Gzera. Is Dekon Nami. And now I'm going to be medayik in the Lush and the Brisa, that this Brisa does not reflect the Shita of Rav Shimon. The Lo Ketani, there's no mention of Karpaf Umavui. All that's mentioned here is Gag Chotzer, Achsadra, Merpeset. And that's the reflection of the Shita Chachamim. Because the Chachamim were never matir to take something from a Gag or from a Chotzer into a Karpaf or into a Mavui. So why wasn't Karpaf or Mavui mentioned in this Brisa? It was blatantly omitted from the Brisa, and the answer is because this Brisa reflects the Shita Chachamim, who never took Karpaf or Mavui and threw it into this hodgepodge of Chatzer Achas, Shva Mina, and that's exactly the way we can derive the conclusion that this Brisa reflects the Shita of the Chachamim and not Rabbi Shimon. Now let us remind ourselves of a Mishnah on Daf Pei Gimel and Beis, Anshei Chotzer v'Anshei Merpeses, Sheshachachu v'lo Irvu, is Kol Shegavah Asar Tfachim l'Merpeset, Pachos Mikam l'Chotzer. So we see already in that Mishnah that a Chotzer and a Merpeses are considered like two different Rishuyos. And that's in a case where each one of the Dayorim set up their own Chotzer. The Dayori HaChotzer set up their Eruv, and the Dayor HaMerpeset set up their Eruv. And that would again be a proof for Rav, that Rabbi Shimon was not matir to be a taltum for Rishus, only except in a case of lo ervu dayori kovrishus liatzma. So the Achronim here, the Gaon Yaakov and others, want to know, why did the Gemara have to stretch its arm out to a Tosefta in order to prove and support Shitas Rav, when we could have done so from the Mishnah on Daf Pei Gimel Amin Beis. So let's just make a note that we got up to Toshma here on Daf Tzadi Aleph Amin Beis.